Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You might notice when you step outside, it's a little chilly out, which means it's officially spooky season.
It's crispy.
It's crispy. It means it's fall. It means it's time for you to spend this weekend watching some horror movies. And a list of the greatest horror villains that have come out every decade for the last century has come out. And I thought I would share it with you in case you needed a little bit of movie inspiration.
Can we throw some out there to see where they fall on the list? If we are able to, even though I hate scary movies, I do not watch them.
Hit me, girl.
All right. The clown from It.
The clown from It is not on the list as one of the greatest villains in the last 100 years.
Pennywise is not on there.
Pennywise is not on the list.
Notice I did not know the clown's name, but I didn't know it was from the movie It.
Yeah, I'm clueless here because I don't watch these kind of movies either.
Michael Myers is on there.
Michael Myers is.
It's not a list if he's not. What?
This list. Oh, wait. Sorry, hang on. I'm reading the wrong side of the list. Hang on. Michael Myers is on there. Let me double check that I didn't screw up Pennywise. And Pennywise is still not on there.
It's still not on there. Okay. All right. Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger is on there from the 80s.
Yes. Okay. So Freddy Krueger is the 80s. Then you have Michael Myers. Jason.
Yeah. Jason.
Must.
Jason is not on there.
What kind of list is
Jason
this?
Jason has got... Is this one of those lists from England?
Well, no. Let's remember it's one from each decade. So okay. Michael Myers was the 1970s. Freddy Krueger was the 1980s. Do you have any guesses on the 90s or the 60s?
Scream. What's the thing in Scream?
God, what was that? Oh, Ghostface.
Ghostface is not on here.
That's crazy. The 60s would be Norman Bates.
Norman Bates is from the 1960s, yes.
Okay, so we got the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. Now we need the 90s.
Oh, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw's, yep, on it from the 2000s, from Saw.
Oh, okay. I never watched any of the Saw movies.
The first Saw movie is amazing. It was nothing like I thought it would be. I stayed away from that movie for so long because I don't like that horror porn kind of stuff, but... The first Saw you would like, Bert.
I'm not watching that.
It's like a thriller. It's almost like a Silence of the Lambs.
So it's not like a whole bunch of blood and people getting cut up and you have to watch all that?
Well, there's some of that. It's really better than what you think it's going to be.
Silence of the Lambs, is the 90s Hannibal Lecter?
No. I've never heard of the serial killer, whoever the villain is, from the 90s. I've never heard this reference before. Which I feel like Tommy will.
Is it the guy from, is it the Jeepers Creepers?
The name of the villain is the same name as the movie title.
Huh. The same name as a movie title from the 90s.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this person.
I lost so many brain cells in the 90s. I'm out on this.
Go ahead.
Who is it, Rebecca?
Oh, wait, we're phoning in a friend who is a fellow horror film enthusiast.
It's not a good fit. Chucky.
Nope.
Huh?
Jeepers Creepers?
No.
What's the Jeepers Creepers dude's name?
I don't know. Girl Scout?
Well, no, she says the name of the movie.
Oh. 1990s.
Candyman?
Candyman.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of Candyman.
Oh, yeah, that was creepy. That was creepy.
They just remade it a few couple of years ago.
Yeah, Candyman. That was a creepy one.
All right, the 2010s, I feel like, should be pretty obvious because we brought it up multiple times in E-Buzz.
The 2010s.
It's a doll.
Annabelle.
Yep, Annabelle from the 2010s.
Very, very good.
From the 2020s, it's the clown from the Terrifier movies.
Oh, yeah.
I've never even heard of the Terrifier movies.
I haven't either.
Those take it to a whole nother level. Now, that's what you're talking about with the gross stuff. Yeah, that's Terrifier all day.
Do you want to take any guesses on the 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s before I give them to you?
No, I have no guesses.
All right, the 1950s, it's Rhoda Penmark from The Bad Seed.
Oh, that's one of my friend's favorite movies of all time.
The 1940s, it's
supposed to be a good movie.
It's The Wolfman. The 1930s, Count Dracula from Dracula. And in the 1920s, Count Orlok from Nosferatu. So,
what?
You have a little inspiration for your weekend to watch some scary movies.
This is not my theme at all, man. No. You know what? Life is scary. You see what's going on in Congress? That's a horror movie.
That's how
we should have said Congress on every decade.
See, I would say that, but... I watch murder docuseries to chill out in the first 48, so I have no room to say anything.
The Burt Show.
It's hard enough to do a job interview when everything is perfect in your life, right? But when technology gets in the way, Abby was freaking out this morning over the simple question, how was your day yesterday?
Oh my God, it was horrifying yesterday.
It was not horrifying.
It was, when I tell you, it felt as though the walls were going to start melting at any moment, because that's how unreal life felt when the Zoom call went wrong. It was horrifying is probably putting it mildly.
Well, the stakes are so high when you're interviewing for any job, forget about radio or whatever. When you know that you're going to be looking for a job and you're doing a job interview, there are very few things that are more stressful than that, right? Mm-hmm. So when one little thing even goes wrong, you're like, dang it, that's it. Better look for something else. So this one was out of your control, though.
I know, but it still kind of makes you look bad. And I'm a perfectionist, and so when things just don't go like flawlessly, because in my mind, I could have done something to make it better. Like I could have, you know, maybe pre-planned. I know that my Wi-Fi is kind of slow, so why didn't I choose a different location for this call? Like this is the thought process that goes through my head. So yesterday I had a call with a radio bigwig that Bert was kind enough to set me up with for this call.
This guy is like top of the food chain at one of the radio companies. He's the guy that makes the decisions and the personnel decisions for just about every morning show in their network. It don't get any higher than this guy.
So it's a pretty big deal. So,
and I've known him for 20 years. He's a super, super nice guy.
Yeah, super, super cool and just very, very cool and down to earth. And so I'm on this Teams call. So I don't have Microsoft Teams. I don't have like the app. So every time you go in, you have to like click on a link and it takes you to a browser. And a thing about my history with video calls is every week I will do a Zoom call for my podcast. So I'm very used to doing these. Like I never really have any problems, but sometimes if it's not on Zoom, if it's on like Google Meet or if it's on Microsoft Teams, the reception gets a little spotty and it'll completely cut me out. So I'm on Microsoft Teams yesterday and I'm probably about 10 minutes into this quote unquote interview networking thing. And, you know, it's going pretty well. And I'm talking about my history in radio and blah, 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 and what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, as he starts to talk, it just starts to go.
Oh, no.
And I just keep waiting for it to clear up because, you know, sometimes the reception will get a little spotty and then all of a sudden it clears up. And then all of a sudden it's.
And then it's
just totally silent. And I'm like, is that the end of his sentence or have I been completely like cut out? And I go,
this is the worst because you get one shot with this guy.
You get one shot.
And it's not even your fault what's going on.
And so then I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't hear a word you just said. I'm like, I think I picked up on this part. So then I just start answering the question as if I've heard it. And it seemed to be fine, whatever I said. So then it goes, and when I tell you, the entire meeting was like that for like 10 or 15 minutes. I mean, like, it wasn't like it was 2 minutes and then it got better. And then it was like, oh, okay. It was just like a weird hiccup. It was like half the meeting. And then at the very end, my reception completely cuts out. I get booted off the meeting and I'm sitting there trying to log back in. The link won't work. It just keeps going, redirecting. I'm like, redirecting my ass. I'm redirecting myself to my email. And I'm like, trying to type up an email. He then sends me one. And he's like, hey, no worries about the Wi-Fi. It happens. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't happen. I'm perfect. Hire me. I don't make mistakes. My Wi-Fi is perfect. I'm perfect. And so I think it's fine.
Your Wi-Fi is not a reflection of you, Abby.
Yeah, I know, but it feels that way.
She just cut your Xfinity commercial.
Yeah.
The reason to be on Xfinity. But there's good. So you said that you sent a link to your podcast.
He requested it.
And he did listen to it and sent you some like kind of feedback?
He didn't send feedback. He just said, how did you start it? And I was just like, well, I'm nosy. So there, we'll start there. And I just gave him the brief history of how the breakup breakdown got started. And then that was really it.
Okay. So there was no indication that he went and actually listened to it, because no. That would have been a great sign.
He said that he was listening to it.
Oh, that's a great sign.
It is. Yay! Huge.
That's a really, really good sign. Okay. Because a lot of them will say, hey, yeah, send me the link, but they never actually go on and listen to it. And the fact that you're on with him and then you immediately send the link and he goes to listen, they're interested.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's really good. At what point, how many minutes were you into this, like, really, like, distorted kind of convo where you said to him, I can't really hear anything that's going on, or did you just try to gut through it?
Oh, I told him immediately. I was like, I'm not going to try and fake this. I'm like, I'm going to be straight up with you. I didn't hear a word you just said.
No,
like,
you're good, man.
AT&T has sabotaged me from the Skylink or whatever they use.
There you go. Kristen, you don't have to cut a spot for next week. It just wrote itself.
I'm just going
to
play this clip right here.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I have decided to give myself the advice that I gave Abby a few weeks ago. Right? So, as Abby says, I challenged her to read a book.
You did. It was a challenge.
I gifted her a book that I gifted Kristen also, and I read myself. Because I think when you're an overthinker, man, you got to figure out a way how to stop doing that. That'll drive you crazy, right? So I gifted her this book. And within this book, and also some advice I've heard before, is like, if you have handled yourself in one way your entire life and it really hadn't worked out for you, like you can't get out of that vicious loop of stress or
ruminating.
That's a great word for it right there. The question was, how would you handle this stage of stress if you were different in a healthier human being? Like, how would you change right now so you're not falling into the same patterns? So I am taking that advice and I'm trying to do the same thing with retirement, because it does sound intoxicating, and it is, right? Like, there's a lot of things about this job that I absolutely love, and there are things that I really want to do when I'm not in radio anymore on October 24th, like travel, have an open schedule.
Not be beholden to a clock all the time.
Yes, or ratings all the time, really trying to figure out how to get self-worth rather than getting worth from ratings and clicks and all that stuff. And to be honest with you, while it has been... I know it's the right decision for me, and there's a tremendous amount of relief. There's a tremendous amount of stress, because I'm looking, as I said to you guys before, at a life that feels kind of theoretical for me. I want to turn into the person that I've always dreamed of being, but I've never been. So it's a little freaky, right? I'm walking in the halls of Lifetime the other day, where I work out, and I'm talking to some dude, and he says to me, man, aren't you living the dream? And, you know, that's usually a cliche when somebody is not living the dream.
Yes.
You say, oh, that you're living the dream, aren't you?
It's one of my go-to phrases when everybody's like, how are you doing? And I'm like, oh, you know, living the dream.
Right. Like Jimmy's having a temper tantrum or something like that in public and you're living the dream. Well, he said that to me. And I start to walk away from that conversation. I'm like, damn, I am.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm like living the dream right now. Mm-hmm. And probably the last thing you want to hear is other people doing well. But it really is what I've fantasized about for so long, being able to travel on a whim and go see things that are really going to keep me in awe. I really get to pursue joy now without any kind of handcuffs at all. And here I am spending some time stressing about what this is going to look like. Can I turn into this person? Will I turn into somebody that's so different than I am right now that Amanda won't love me anymore? And I'm like, stop! Stop. Okay. So I'm really working on, like, all right, you know what? What if I was going to handle this differently? And right after I had that conversation with this guy who I think does maintenance at Lifetime, it really kind of opened up my eyes. Like, dude, you're living in it. What are you stressing yourself out about? I'm living in it right now. So what the hell am I stressing about?
It's a great question. You need to ask yourself that.
I need to read this book. I need to challenge myself with reading this book again.
It is challenging.
Are you guys doing the same thing? Because it's a stressful time for you guys also. And Abby, I think more so than Kristen. Kristen's been through this. She's been on radio before. And I mean, decades here now. So you've been through this kind of process before. But are you handling it any differently now than you did before?
No, this is a new process for me.
Yeah.
I've never been through a process like this. And I would say it's a managing day to day, day by day. Mm-hmm. I honestly, I can't really talk. There's a lot of conversations happening behind the scenes, right. Private conversations happening behind the scenes. So I wish I could give you more. I just can't at this point in time.
How are you handling your stress?
I think every day it's just different. Like, I mean, after I got off that horrendous call yesterday where my Wi-Fi crapped out, I was like, life is terrible. I have no future. I'm a terrible employee. And then, you know, I had a series of emails last night that were more exciting. So it's up, it's down, and it won't be more even keeled until I know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going yet.
I guess the process of being stressed or overthinking about it, are you tweaking it at all to make it a little bit easier, or it's the same kind of pattern?
I mean, it's a stressful experience. I don't know where I'm going to be living in 3 months. And I think just accepting that it's a stressful experience is just reminding myself that this is part of it. That's my favorite thing to say when something goes wrong, is this is just part of it. This is part of being in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just take it for what it is. It's stressful. Be stressed when you're stressed, and don't be stressed when you're not stressed.
I'll tell you how to fix everything, Abby. Delta 9 and a glass of wine. I'm not going to say I may have done that a time or two the last couple of weeks, but if I was asking a friend, they might suggest that.
I feel like there's a t-shirt in the making.
Delta 9. And a glass of wine.
There it is.
And I'm feeling fine. So put it on a t-shirt, I'll start selling it.
You guys have been leaving us such great messages on our goodbye line. If you want to do that, it's at 404-954-1360.
Great show. I can't believe you're leaving me. I found you when I moved to Georgia, Newton, in 2014, and then lost you when I moved to the Savannah area because for some reason Thrust would drop you. But I found you on the app and I've been listening ever since, and I've called many times. Well, not many, but a few. And I'll miss you guys, and I can't believe you're leaving. Bye.
Hey, guys. I've listened to the show for, I don't know, 10 years now. I found you all on 102.5 in Lexington. Avid listener ever since. And I'm going to miss you guys. I love it. Fun. Makes my morning. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm a morning job. It's like, I listen to you every time I get in the car. That's what I listen to. I just love the banter. I love the chaos. Love you guys. Best of luck in the future. Do all the fun
I'm sad. My birthday is the 22nd of October, and this could be the worst birthday gift ever of y'all leaving 2 days after my birthday. There is one fond memory I remember having. It was when Earthquake Adventure was doing the 100% donations with Jersey Mike's. And when I worked in Roswell, I went to go get a sub for the donation. And lo and behold, Miss Kristen Klingshern was standing behind me in line, and she had just gotten engaged to Bart. So I felt like I had just met a celebrity, and she was so kind to take a photo with me, which really made my day. And listening to you guys every morning at 6 a.m. In the car driving puts my morning in a better mood. I am completely devastated that you guys are leaving, but I'm utterly happy for the paths that y'all will have with what the future holds for everybody. So thank you for the years that you let me listen to you. I greatly appreciate it, and God bless.
And Cassie's not here this morning to remind you guys that we just got the okay that we can put up all the shows from 25 years. So literally, if you wanted to listen to The Burt Show in your commute in the morning or the afternoon, you're still going to be able to do that. And you're going to hear a whole bunch of fresh shows you haven't heard in a very, very long time. So when she gets back in on Monday, you're going to have to delete our app. That's going away. So you're going to have to listen to the podcast on all the other podcasting platforms. But if you want to continue listening to The Burt Show, it'll be here for you, okay?
Yeah, that was funny hearing that guy saying he found us when he was listening to us on Hot 102.5 in Lexington. Because we got in my hometown for a hot minute, and then they let us go. Yep. And it reminded me of the eulogy I gave.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that. And I did. I pulled it up, and I was like, oh, I remember when we asked Lexington what they wanted. What do you want? Spoiler, not us.
I have been getting some DMs from people around the country, like in Toledo, for instance, or in Pennsylvania, saying, what's next? Those decisions are done by the individual radio stations. So we're sort of contracted out to those stations, and this one also, actually.
Yeah.
So we don't have any control over what they're going to be doing in mornings. I have certainly made my suggestion over and over and over again, but whatever they're going to do, I don't have an answer for you guys. So you'll find out, I guess, on the 27th what they're doing.
The Burt Show.
All right, Rebecca, we were playing with scary movies earlier because you got Halloween right around the corner, and you are the queen in this genre.
I am, and it's spooky season. Ooh.
that was not spooky. Wait, I don't know what that is, but that is not spooky.
If that came out from under your bed, you would be a little, your shivers would be timbered a little bit.
It is spooky season at our house. I am not a Halloween fan, but ever since having a kid, it has opened my eyes to the joys that can be Halloween.
Yeah.
So Skelly is officially hanging on the front door. Yes, Jimmy named our skeleton, and his name is Skelly, which makes total sense. Mm-hmm. And he's hanging on the front door. And I actually put fake spider webs up and spiders and stuff and like decorated the dining room area. And I loved hearing Jimmy tell the neighbors the other day, yeah, we have spiders in our house. And then there was a bee. And there's a bee. He's like, but they're not real. And I'm like, thank you for clarifying that.
Some of our neighbors have been overly ambitious, man. It feels like their Halloween stuff went up outside like on September 1st.
I love it.
They're ready.
Whatever, right now, in today's environment, whatever makes you happy, by God, do it.
So today's spooky game is all about Letterboxd. And Letterboxd is the social media site where cinephiles like me rate and review movies. But its biggest export is meme reviews. For example, the top review for Freddy vs. Jason just says 0 stars. They don't kiss once. So I have pulled one-line joke reviews for the most popular movies on Letterboxd. I want you guys to guess what the movie is based on 3 reviews. Each one will give you a better hint. And since it's spooky season, all of these movies are Halloween themed. But you guys just spent a whole e-buzz talking about how you don't watch scary movies.
Yeah, right.
So Tommy's going to be able to play.
Tommy will be able to play.
Ringer.
Yes.
Right. Because I'm a little nervous about how well this game's going to go.
And I was nervous for you. And so, we're sharing the same brain. I was like, Bert doesn't like him. I don't like him. Abby doesn't like him. I'm like, Tommy's going to have to play and he's going to get every single one.
I love horror movies.
I know you do.
As long as Halloween Town High is on there, I'm going to at least get one.
You know, I looked and I couldn't find any good meme reviews for it because I was like, Abby will know Halloween Town High. But I do have some quick fire horror movie suggestions for each of you. Okay. Abby, you should watch The Invisible Man. Get it?
Wow. What?
Because your boyfriend's so single.
At least I have a man, even if he's invisible.
Tommy, you should watch Scream because I've seen you do it. KK, 28 Days Later, because I know that's scary for you.
Ain't that the truth?
And Bert, Get Out.
Well played, Rebecca. Well played.
Thank you. Okay, first movie. Heterosexuality is a Curse, the movie.
Oh, Jennifer's Body.
No.
Oh.
That's a good guess.
That was a great guess.
Right?
Heterosexuality is a Curse.
All right, we're going to need the next clue, please.
I still don't see anything wrong with hexing men.
Is this the one with Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock as witches?
Oh, maybe.
Practical Magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at you.
You got it.
Look at you. Nice. Pulled that right out the booty.
I really did. Yep. I reached deep for that.
Next movie. They don't make escape rooms like this anymore.
Saw.
Yes. Okay. Receding hairline, ginger hair, eyes looking in both directions.
Pennywise.
It is it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's that hairline that clown.
Ed Sheeran deserves the Oscar. Okay, me and my... Sorry, this is the funniest.
The best part of your bits when you come on to me or when you laugh at yourself.
It's so funny. Okay, me and my friends would have beat the main character to death with hammers. I can tell you that much.
Main characters with the hammers.
Is it Scream?
No.
Would it beat the main character to death? Is the main character the villain, or are they talking about who's getting chased by the villain?
The main character is not the villain.
Oh, okay.
So somebody so obnoxious that you would like to kill them.
I know what you did last summer.
No.
All right, give us the next hint, please.
A hammer.
I would not feel that attached to something that looks like a human testicle, but I still felt the magic.
E.T.?
Yeah.
E.T. is not a horror movie.
It was to me. When I was a kid.
Really?
It freaked me out. It's so scary.
But Halloween is in the movie.
Yes, it's Halloween vibes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we got time for one more.
Imagine running for your life, then looking over your shoulder and seeing your killer do a TikTok dance.
Is it Scary Movie?
No. I thought you were going to get this one so quickly.
I'm trying to think of like Addison Rae was ever in a scary movie.
She kind of was.
She was? I don't know.
Yeah, she's all that was pretty scary.
It was terrifying. Wait, what's the next clue?
Chucky had to work so hard to be a queer icon. Then here comes this diva.
Huh. Rocky Horror Picture? Chucky? Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No. Come on.
It's so obvious to her. It's always obvious when you're the one with the question.
Getting the answer right in front of you.
How are you not getting
that? Say the two clues back to back.
Imagine running for your life and looking over your shoulder and seeing your killer do a TikTok dance.
Megan.
It's Megan.
Megan. Oh.
Gaslight like, gatekeep girl.
How did we not get that out of the gate?
That was entirely too easy and yet hard.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm trying to figure out why I'm so emotional about having this person in studio. I really feel like I'm going to get choked up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just excited. It's been a minute and I can't wait to share the memories that we are about to share.
This is going
to
be very different than it was yesterday with Crash.
Oh.
you can bring him on in. My dude, Carl. Quote unquote intern, Carl. Carl. These are your kids? Get out of here, man.
Keep me out of house and home.
Hold on one sec, y'all.
My
BW.
Damn, man.
Hey.
Hey,
still remember that handshake?
Oh, the handshake.
What was it?
Hi. So those of you that have been listening to the Burt Show for a long time, you'll remember intern Carl. But man, Carl, I got to tell you, dude, every time over the course of the last couple of days that I thought about you being in studio, no matter what I was doing, it put a smile on my face.
Yes, sir.
Every single time, yes, sir. Man.
It was nothing but fun.
It was, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I tell my kids, when you say intern, Carl, they have no idea the work that I put in.
I didn't know intern, Carl. I knew phone screener, Carl.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was phone screener, right? Yeah. You were never an intern, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You
intern.
Were. Then you went to phone screener?
Absolutely. Okay. So I paid dues, baby.
Yeah.
You just don't get on the Burt Show. You just don't walk in on the Burt Show.
No. Yeah. You know,
so, but yeah, it's been great, man. I really appreciate being back. Y'all are real fancy now, though.
Look at this, though, right? New studio.
How many studios you got now, Burt? I mean, good grief.
I mean, we're what? 15, 16, 17.
Well, he's saying because we just had the one room and now we got these two here. Yeah.
Look, it's really nice if you want it for your own on October 25th.
what's this malarkey, man? Well, so you're going to leave shooting at the jumper like Jordan left in Utah? You're going to leave on top?
Well, the difference is Jordan tried to come back. I'm really going to try not to, but I am not promising anything. This was, what years were you with us?
I knew you were going
to
ask me that.
Yeah, because you were here.
We're trying to put it together.
When I joined the show, you were a part of the show, and that was in 2011.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because I've been here 14 friggin' years. Like, I remember having the Christmas party at my house, and you being there with your lovely family and your little kids, decorating Christmas cookies with Tracy's little kids at the time at the dining room table.
That's right. So I remember my daughter, who's 24 now.
What? Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, she was a baby. I think she's a couple years older than Hayden.
Yeah, Hayden's 23 now.
Right. And I remember she was a baby because our house got broken into. She came in on the studio. She was how old were you? Well, she was maybe seven.
Seven. Tell me your kids' names again.
Priya, Kali, and I have one Nola.
Okay.
Down at the, down in Florida.
All right. Dang, dude. Yeah. So many memories. When you were coming in, Kristen's like, oh, I got a memory. I got one of him screening. Is this the phone screening call?
Yes, absolutely. Like when I think of you, Carl, and our time together, one of the first memories is when we did the Atlanta Hawks, like 3-on-3 basketball. Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Some. I'm hooping, homie.
We had so much fun doing that. And you and I that had some actual basketball basketball skills, and then the other people that were on our team, when we saw them shoot, right. We were like, we are screwed.
Who was on the team at the time?
It was me, Carl, Jeff, and Tommy.
Oh, no.
And we played WSB. Those guys had some game. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, man.
We're convinced they brought ringers in. Absolutely. Like, from other affiliates and stuff like that.
After you left, I kept doing it, but it got too intense, and it got too competitive. Like, one guy stuffed me so hard and, like, threw me to the ground, and I looked at him, and I'm like, I'm just a girl. Like, what is going on here?
But Christian, you got some game.
Thank you.
Seriously, I can see why a guy's like, no more. Christian got a nice jumper, too.
Thank you very much. But from being on air, the one story I will never forget, we're all sitting in studio, and you were in the phone screener room, and you come in, and you were like, yeah, there's somebody on the hotline. This dude, Steve Cantrell. And we were all so confused. And we're like, Steve Cantrell?
Were we doing the Who Do You Know game?
I think it was.
It's like when you guys knew a celebrity, you would have them call in, and we were giving away like $10,000 or something like that for the biggest celebrity.
And we get the person on, and it's freaking Steve Carell from The Office. And we're like, Steve Cantrell?
Is that Blue Cantrell's brother?
Man, y'all had no idea how much pressure I was on doing this show, right?
Yeah.
I was just telling my son, I said, dude, I got this, I got into this chasing my rap career. You know, really, like, seriously, I was trying to stay in the music, and so I got an intern, blah, 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 so on. But I was a little out of my turf when I was working for Top 40. So I had these people calling. I had no idea. I live by Google. Y'all had no idea. Bert would say, hey, man, go call Steve Cantrell. Steve Carell, who? Huh? Oh, I live by Google.
It was so funny.
Yeah, it was a really great time for the Bert Show, man. And I'm so glad you were part of it.
It was fun.
We asked these guys to, when they were going to come in, like, think of something that kind of represents your time on the show. So what is the clip that you picked here?
You know, the one thing that stuck out immediately was that Tupac audition. I was really trying my best.
Oh, it was a movie.
Absolutely.
Movie?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It was called All Eyes on Me. And at the time, Tupac was one of the biggest stories that was untold. And I knew my whole life while they were, while Tupac was around, I just kept hearing, you look like Tupac. So I knew the whole story. But the whole thing was that I had created this entire, I created an agent called Don Schumacher.
That's right. And there wasn't another person. It was you.
Not at all. It was me.
It was you calling for you.
Calling for me. Yeah. Now, Carl Hemphill.
Don Schumacher?
Exactly. Listen to the name. Don Schumacher. When you call him back.
So we have this clip we're going to play here. And he talks about Don Schumacher at one point. Oh. And they ask him to spell Schumacher. And he can't spell it right.
You can't even spell your own made up name right.
This was BK. So I have never heard this, so I was so excited to hear this.
That's right on point, because I had no idea Tommy pulled that clip.
Okay, and you didn't get the job.
Not at all. I'm still right here talking to you.
This is producer Carl's at Mike Music.
Destiny.
That's right.
Destiny.
Pot. What's up, Pot?
It is Destiny right here. Now, Carl, for those that are listening for the first time or don't know your passion for Tupac and your passion for getting this part in the Tupac movie, sort of bring them up to speed.
It all started back in 91. When Pac, you know, he was with Digital Underground. I used to always hear from different women, oh, you look like that guy from Digital Underground. Mm-hmm. Then Tupac came out with his own album, and I just kept hearing the same thing as far as that I look like him, that I act like him a little bit, that I look like him. And I just kept hearing that. And so,
but it was white people telling you that, and you're like, all right, no, all black people.
That's exactly right.
It's offensive, but I won't say anything. I'll just smile.
Now, to be honest with you, it was black people saying that at first, until he died. Then that's when the white people jumped on the bandwagon.
That's the first time white people found her name.
Yeah, they finally saw his face. Oh, that's Tupac. Exactly, okay, right? I get
it. He looked like that guy that got killed. So ever since then, you know, I've been hearing that I look like him and all that. And so, don't get me wrong, I've always been I hate to use the word fan, but if there's anybody in the music game that I was a fan of, it was Pac.
Mm-hmm.
Pac and E-40, you know, like I throw that out there too. But Tupac, he just, not only was a fan, I was in tune with what his mission was. His mission was the betterment of his his people, black people, of people with less of the community, you know, for the most part. And I connected with that. And not just me, a lot of people that I was around, they kind of considered Pac to be almost like the MLK of our day, of our generation. Really? He spoke, definitely. He spoke and touched exactly what a lot of people from the neighborhoods could relate to. So it was a real deep connection with what he was saying with his words. And of course, you know, he've had a lot of issues throughout his time, but you know, we still connected with that. You don't discount or disconnect your cousin just because he has some issues. So we were still, Pac was still our guy regardless.
And he was young. How old was he when he got killed?
He was 25 when he got killed.
He was young.
Just 25. Yeah. And he was just so heavy when it came to just his poetry, his lyrics, what he stood for. He was a civil rights activist, if you ask me. So it had that deep connection.
I liked his song about his mama.
Dear Mama. That won every woman over that I knew of.
Yeah, I love that.
And when my mom started talking about Tupac, I knew he was deeper than just a rapper. Than just a hip-hop artist.
Because your mom knew him.
Oh, yeah. And my mom wasn't playing the radio when it came to hip-hop. And so I had this deep connection with hip-hop and Tupac. And so I've always been told, listen, dude, if this movie ever comes out, when it comes out, you better go out there and play for the and go out for the audition. I'm not a Tupac wannabe. You know, I just had love for the dude. You know, had love for that person. And
you have no acting background. So people were telling you to go out for this position and you have no acting background.
Regardless. They said, go out for it, man. Because, you know, I have a certain level of passion when it comes to what I got passion for, which is my family.
And you favor him, too. I mean, I think you can't dismiss how, you know, you do favor Pac.
Right. And I want to bring that. I want to bring his soul to the screen again. You know, I want to be able to bring that. I don't think that there's too many people out there that has that passion like me.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear it.
And I really think that this is not a threat or anything like that. This is to anybody that's going out for this role. You better come hard, man, because I am. I'm coming in. I'm
serious. Bringing the heat.
I mean, and I'm not even using the microphone just to shine and act and be out. Anybody that knows me can repeat this conversation 2 weeks ago. I'm not just saying it because I'm on air right now, you know? Right. So this is for real.
You talk about Tupac like my 8-year-old talks about Justin Bieber, so I know you're serious.
Well, and the thing is, like, let's say that if you could only act one role, this would be the role you would act.
This is it.
Yeah.
If I could only be one other person, I don't wear anybody on my shirt except certain people, Tupac, Richard Pryor, and Muhammad Ali. Those are all, I don't wear the names on my jerseys. I'm not that guy, you know? So it means a lot for me to want to be someone else, you know.
So Carl here has been like really aggressive about going for this part. He found out all the info, did the research himself, created this
agent
character that has been placing calls on Carl's behalf and calling out to LA. So
that's
he's getting
his first acting role.
That's right.
That is your own major. That's right.
So I created this agent, and I noticed that, you know, when you want to become, you have to play the part. You know, you fake it till you make it. So I considered myself to become my agent. So I became Don Schumacher. So I would call out to L.A. because I caught wind that the role was being generated.
Don, can you just spell your last name for me real quick?
Schumacher. That's S-C-H-A-U. I'm sorry, S-C-H-U-M-A-C-H-E-R.
Okay,
Schumacher.
Got it.
But so I called out to L.A. and I got the wind that this role was being casted. So I was real aggressive just calling back and forth. I know they got tired of me. So I caught wind of that. I sent out my photos. And then the next thing I know, they kind of switched it up a little bit on me. They said that you had to do an online audition. And so when I was out there to the Tupac Performing Arts, just kind of sniffing around, talking to people, they were the ones that told me that I needed to go ahead and submit a video. Right. But then I called back out to L.A. and then they confirmed that. So there's a Twitter account that you're in search of Tupac, blah, blah, blah. So I've caught wind of that. All of y'all been really good and helping me out. The Burt Show community been sending me all kind of information.
That's great.
So long story short, I have the monologue that they want us to perform. And I've been studying this dude since he was around and studying even harder since I've heard about this role.
Sure.
And I've been practicing my own, I've had my own monologues that I wanted to perform, but on this with this audition, you have to perform this one specific monologue. So it kind of threw me off a little bit.
So what they're trying to do is like get audition tapes from everybody with similar material.
And they want to be able to compare.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So how long have you been working on the monologue?
I've been working on that since I got it maybe Saturday. And I planned on doing it this coming Saturday. So I feel that I'm ready for it.
Okay.
But I wanted to make sure I just had all these T's and I's dotted and crossed. And I'm dead serious about this. I don't want to even play around with this halfway. So
I love your passion, Carl.
I'm interested.
This is great.
I want to download some pops.
You got me interested.
No, it's good.
I want to hear what you got.
Yeah, all right. So now this monologue right here, I wanted to give a lot of his passion, of his feelings, of how he was, just not when it comes to the hip hop. I wanted to kind of exemplify his whole passion of where he came from. Now this monologue right here, it's a little mild. You know, it takes place outside of a courthouse, and he's kind of talking to reporters, and he's kind of questioning himself, like, you know, why me, why me? So it's kind of mild. It's not what I anticipated, but the passion comes from the song that I'm going to perform.
Okay.
So they want to perform the monologue and the song.
Yeah, they want to see a rap performance too.
Oh, nice.
Now I've got the song here also, but let's hear the monologue first. Okay.
All right. Now the monologue. Now you have to realize that I'm acting this out too.
Okay.
You know, it's not just audio for you all listening. All right, so
I take a breath.
It's all right.
Take a breath.
All right.
Forget us in the studio. Forget it.
Okay.
Get in the zone.
Producer Carl, monologue audition, scene one.
Why am I the only one in court right now? Why is the cameras all over me? In the reports and in all these charges, I didn't do nothing. I'm charged with being in concert with some guys. But where they at? Why me? Because I'm too... No, I'm not angry at them. I'm angry at the system. You know, I don't want nobody else to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to go to jail for something I didn't do. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to be the scapegoat. I want to, only way I've been practicing my whole life is to live my life to be responsible for what I do. I don't know how to be responsible for what every black male do. I don't know. And yes, I'm a thug because I come from the gutter and I'm still here. I'm not a thug because I want to rob and rape you. I'm a businessman because, and you know I'm a businessman because you find me at my places of business. You don't find me up in, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. That's it.
All right.
This
is a guy that has no previous acting experience at all.
Wow. I think we're going to be on a red carpet soon with
Carlos.
Zero.
Bumps. Zero.
Goosebumps.
You want to do the song too?
Yeah, I'm ready. Now the song has three people on there, so I'm just going to do the first verse.
Okay.
It's a lot. I need some water.
He's like intern Kyle right now. Here, drink out of intern Kyle's cup.
Now the song and everything, it's just... Bert, you might have to pod down the mic or whatever because, you know, when I get into that mode, man, I grab the mic and I go Tupac
all
on
right.
this thing.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Brace yourself is what I heard.
Brace
yourself.
Bring the heat. You tell me when to hit the song and I'll start rolling it.
Excuse me. It's a trip because saying his words, his lyrics, the whole past 10, 15 years, there's a couple of lyrics I didn't know he said that. You know, I'm like, wow.
Okay. That's what he's been trying to say.
I was thinking that's wrong funny. The whole time.
Okay, I'm ready. Right.
You ready?
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Clear enough for you.
Clear enough for you. Yeah. Now, my dudes look mad.
Look mad.
Y'all supposed to be happy I'm free.
Y'all wanted me to stay there.
Picture me rolling in my 500 Benz. I had no love for these fools. I had to leave for be friends. They had me under surveillance. Notice dope being sold. But I ain't the one selling. Don't want to be another number. I got a puff a gang a week to keep from going under. The federalities want to see me dead. Fools put prices on my head. Now I got two Rottweilers by my bed. I feed them lead. Now that I'm a reason who I live. But God forgive me for all the dirt a fool did. To lead kids. Want life to live. It's too hard to live positive. When fools shooting at your crib. My mom still thugging. The waters of war zone. My homies is inmates and most of them dead gone. Full grown following your man and scheming on ways to put some green inside the palm on my empty hand. So picture me rolling, tossing the bins and the rims I didn't stolen. My loss is sensitive. My hopes are gone. I'm like a fiend if I can deal with one. The dope is gone. Nerves is wrecked. Heart beating and my hands are swollen.
Picture of the G's I be holding. Picture me rolling. I don't like that, y'all. I didn't like the way that the music was down, and I had to kind of.
That's all right.
Good, though,
Carl.
That's
underway,
all right.
Yes.
I don't
oh,
like
my
it.
Goodness.
One thing
that listeners can't see out. Is, I know, yeah, the mic's thrashed. The thing that I think that listeners can't see is the fact that, you know, how some people may get nervous and have their eyes closed and not interact with the rest of the room. But, like, the whole time that Carl was doing all that, he was looking at everybody and he was in the character.
Zone.
Yes.
Like, you're in the monologue.
And it's, you've got till Saturday to perfect this too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you've got the passion. You've got the passion. And the thing is, just do your thing, because I'm sure that the directors and everybody's not necessarily looking for polished,
right?
But they're probably looking for that passion,
right? You know? I get it. I'm serious. I'm going hard at this, so
I can hear that.
I'm still talking about the lyrics and everything, but
yeah, you got to get those lyrics right, because if you mess up the lyrics, that's the one thing. You watch American Idol every week. They say, do not mess up the lyrics to a song.
Right. You got it.
Yeah. Go
you
get
got
it. Man.
All right, pops.
All right, you'll call us early next week and let us know how.
Yeah, I'll let y'all know what's happening.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
All right, so we're back live now. We were being nice. That wasn't good.
That was funny. For the last year, I wondered why I didn't get the part.
All these years later, I think we can all agree, like, the singing part just wasn't going to happen for it.
Oh, man, I was so ready for that part. Anyway.
However, watching you in studio, you still remember that monologue word for word.
Y'all have no idea how many times I practiced that thing. I hired a producer. I hired an acting coach, Danny. Shout out to Danny. Yeah, I hired an acting coach and everything. I was serious.
Yeah, I know you were. Yeah. I know you were. Man, it's so good to see you guys again. I'm so glad you brought your kids in, too. I will let you guys know this about your dad.
Please tell
him. He worked so hard, and he cared so much for you guys, and I'm sure he still does. You and I, off the air, used to have a lot of conversations about family and the ups and the downs.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you guys, you were always on his heart. I mean, every single conversation, I felt like, circled back to the family.
Absolutely.
And he worked so hard in here, and there are just very few people that would walk in that studio and every single time would just light up this studio with a great attitude. Your dad was it.
Thank you, man. And it was easy to do because you all treated me so well. And Bert, the dad-to-dad talks that we have, I remember them, man. And the staff, I was telling my kids, you were really great at what you did. So I didn't just sit here and was an intern and producer. I studied you, bro. I know why you're 25 years in the game and leaving on top. I know that business, looking at you from the business perspective as well. Shout out to the team. Christian, I love you too, baby. I'm sorry.
I love you too, Carl.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Abby, this is Carl. Thanks for coming in, dude. Now we can finally go out and really have those dinners and drinks we've been talking about for the last 10 years.
Let's do
okay?
It.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.